Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Well, welcome back, and we will head down to Baton Rouge in just about 30 minutes to preview the college game. One of the biggest games of your period for South Carolina heading down to Baton Rouge. Right now, we talk a little bit about Jim Harbaugh and a couple of other things with Amanda Kristovich from Front Office Sports. Always great to see you, Amanda. Thank you. And we haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. And it is the story of the day, Jim Harbaugh. And I know everyone is trying to sort it all out. But what does it mean to college football that the biggest name after Saban, and he is gone, is now gone as well to the NFL?
Yeah, to me, the Jim Harbaugh move signifies that, you know, college football could have a coaching retention problem. You know, that's what I'm wondering. We talked about, you know, a couple of years ago, whether or not there could be a player retention program or problem if there were other NCAA options. You know, but if I'm Jim Harbaugh, why would I want to stay at Michigan when I'm getting in trouble for buying cheeseburgers? And, you know, I want the players to get paid. And, you know, there are a million lawsuits where the NCAA is trying to prohibit that. So, you know, I've heard a lot of folks in college athletics who are just sick of all the rules, honestly. And I wonder if, you know, of course, going to the NFL, wanting to win another Super Bowl or wanting to win a Super Bowl, like, I'm sure that's the number one reason. But and the weather in LA is pretty nice, I have to say. But I wonder if the retention problem is going to be an issue in college sports.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Saban presumably left because he was sick of that as well. And you're talking about two marquee items. The sport will survive, but it is interesting what you just said, because I know you spent a lot of time in the NIL space. I remember talking to you not that long ago. You were outside, I think, in L.A., during a court hearing, and there's a lot more of that going on. But take us through what the mindset is right now, because nobody has any control over anything. Players have their hand out. Parents have their hand out. Coaches are beside themselves. And it brings a lot of interesting questions to our sport.
Yeah, and one other thing I'll add is that last week, the United States Department of Justice joined a lawsuit against the NCAA's remaining transfer portal restrictions. So, you know, the narrative that I hear a lot is that college athletics, you know, the transfer portal is killing college sports and NIL is adding to how crazy it all is. But I think I would want to turn that on its head a little bit and say that the NCAA's failure to, you know, be solution oriented over the past several years, right? They've been trying to maintain the status quo. And this is something Jim Harbaugh said: if you want transfer restrictions that are legal, you need a collective bargaining agreement. That's how they do it in the pros. So I think that's the big question. Is it, you know, these new lack of rules and restrictions that are, you know, causing issues for coaches and fans and maybe even players? Or is it the fact that the NCAA has not wanted to change, has not wanted to, you know, move forward and look at the solutions that other entities use very well and very successfully?
We're talking to Amanda Kristovich from Front Office Sports, who is at the vanguard of this issue. I want to bring that up because Charlie Baker came out with this D1 revolutionary plan a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting right next to him about 6 months ago in Washington, D.C., and he blamed everything on the NCAA. And I thought, did I wake up in an alternative universe? I mean, the guy's the president of the NCAA, but of course he was blaming it on his predecessor. Is he going to be successful? I know everybody loves him, and he's a great PR guy, former governor, but what has he done so far?
What has Charlie Baker done for us lately? Well, I will say he's made some, you know, some positive reforms, specifically with, you know, athlete healthcare, things like that. With regards to the proposal, I think the proposal, you know, and I'm not inside his head, of course, but to me, it seems like the proposal is an admission that he sees athletes should get a greater share of the revenue they generate, especially, you know, in the power conferences and football and men's and women's basketball, right? But I think it's also sort of a last ditch attempt to satisfy the people who want real reform. Like I said, like employee status, like collective bargaining, the people who are behind all these lawsuits, they're not going to be satisfied with this proposal, by the way, but it is Charlie's attempt. And yeah, I would add, I think he's, you know, remarkably truthful. He had a quote about how the NCAA's lack of action, you know, was the reason we're in this decision or in this situation in the first place. He said that in a hearing last week on Capitol Hill. And, you know, I admire his candor. I'll put it that way.
I do, too. But you have a group of commissioners that are at the table as well, and they're going to Washington often, trying to get Congress to do what they couldn't do, and they were part of it as well. So I'm just trying to figure it all out. I mean, we're getting progress. We're getting the NCAA president finally to admit that everything that happened on his previous on his predecessor's watch was a disaster. But what is being solved?
Right, nothing's being solved. And in fact, they're actively spending millions of dollars to not solve these problems. I think the discord that you're pointing to is the difference between what they're saying and what they're putting their dollars towards, right? Because the NCAA, and, you know, we may not have a Power Five, but I'm going to call it the Power Five because over the past few years, they've all been funding this very sophisticated lobbying campaign, you know, in Congress to try to get an antitrust exemption, which is, you know, the layman's version of it is just saying that it would give the NCAA carte blanche to enforce any and all amateurism rules, right? So they're talking about reform, but what they're actually putting the revenue towards is stopping any reform whatsoever. And I think that's where we're all kind of scratching our heads.
I'm glad you said that because, it seems like every couple of weeks, everybody's up in Congress and, you know, if they're expecting Congress to do their bidding, they're probably going to the wrong place. And I don't think people understand the disconnect between what players want and what the administrators want. But the administrators do talk a good game about student athletes, don't they?
They really do. And, you know, I'll say I've been told, you know, in confidence that there are administrators who believe that there should be change. And again, speaking of Jim Harbaugh, he was one of the people, you know, in the public eye saying that he was in favor of change. But the one thing that I want to point out in response to your question is Charlie Baker talking about how he spoke to 1,000 athletes and none of the athletes want to be employees. Well, I can tell you for a fact that there's no way that that is true unless he hasn't gone to Dartmouth, unless he hasn't gone to USC, unless he hasn't spoken with athletes who have signed on to lawsuits arguing that they should be employees. I know for a fact that that's not true unless he's cherry picking these 1,000 athletes, you know, or just talking to representatives. Maybe, you know, I just want to put out there that we're going to be hearing a lot of athletes that the NCAA handpicks to talk about the fact that they want to be amateurs. And I just want everyone to pay attention to who those athletes are, what sports they play, what divisions they're in, and who is the NCAA not putting on the dais in Capitol Hill that could have a different opinion.
No, well, you nailed it. And that's why you're at the front line of this conversation, because politicians always get people to cherry pick. So when the cameras roll in, everybody's agreement. So my final question is, and it's a little bit complicated with all these various court proceedings going on, but not to go through every one, because there are a couple of them out there, but what is going to happen here? If you had to look down the road a couple of months, even a year or two, where is all this going?
Well, I wrote in a recent piece that in order for the NCAA to be able to keep its current amateurism model, in order for athletes to know athletes to be employees ever, they need to bat 1,000, right? With several court cases, couple cases at the National Labor Relations Board, one of which, you know, we talked about, and I'm actually still in LA covering this week. So I think that we're going to get a ruling in the next few months. And then after we get a ruling from the National Labor Relations Board, there will be an appeals process. Every single one of these cases is going to be appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we could, it could take a few years until we get a decision, but I think in the next few months, we're going to get an initial ruling on athlete employment from one of these cases.
An amazing conversation. Amanda, thank you so much. It is great to hear somebody give some honest reporting on this very important issue. Amanda Kristovich joining us from front office. We head to the break right here, and much more to come, including a trip to Baton Rouge in about 25 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. We'll head to Baton Rouge in just a few minutes. Right now, Dominic is up next in Pittsburgh. Hello, Dominic.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're okay, buddy.
Did you get a chance to watch that Bama versus Auburn game last night?
I did catch most of it, yes.
Man, them Bama boys always beat Auburn. Football, basketball don't matter, don't you think?
Well, that is exactly what's happened lately. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn couldn't stop them. There were some Sears super shots, Pringle post-up, Nelson put-back, and Reitzel shooting lights out from beyond the arc.
Well put.
Yeah. Paul, you hear them crickets?
Do I hear those crickets? Did you hear the crickets, Randy?
I think I do,
yes.
Yeah, I wonder if I-Man watched that game. He was talking smack, saying, blah, 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 we're damn eagle. Cut the cackle. Your mommy probably had to give you kisses and tuck you in at the bottom of the swamp where you get your education when you saw Milroe on the screen and knew there was going to be some magic in that stadium last night.
Dominic, kind of, you're going after a legend there, an I-Man.
Oh, I'm not going after the legend. Legend's my buddy, but I'm going after I-Man. Who does I-Man think he is? Talking so much smack. Auburn don't got nothing on Bama. Roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy.
Whoa. The signature, see you later, buddy. Always there. That was quite a call by Dominic.
Yeah.
Dominic is always prepared for these calls. Yeah, let's continue here. Always a thrill to hear from Elliot in Ohio.
I love that call, Paul. Hey, I wanted to call about Chris's call. I can tell you that Ohio State is not stealing players. What's happening is the players are getting together and they're building a super team just like LeBron James did. back in the day when he built those teams. That's what's happening. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Michigan player, Paul. What time is it, Paul? Do you know what time it is?
Yeah, it's Ryan Day better beat Michigan or get fired time. That's what time it is, Elliot.
It's 5:19, and the Big Ten still owns the SEC, Paul. That's what time it is.
Elliot, your team lost to Missouri by 2 touchdowns.
And an exhibition.
Hey,
Paul,
Elliot, I don't. That was not an exhibition. That was a black and blue beatdown by Missouri over your vaunted team. I don't care if your players don't want to play. That's their problem. You shouldn't
collect the
$20 million for showing up.
Did you listen to the podcast?
It's a New Year's Six bowl. I would have thought Ohio State might have been interested in that. That's a coaching failure. Yep. That's an administration failure. That's a total failure by the Ohio State. Call a Columbus show and load us with that garbage. Trey is up next. Trey?
Well, Paul, he also lost to Georgia last year and Alabama the year last time they played.
Yeah,
so we don't want it. They haven't done anything since 2014, Paul.
When was the last time they won
a title? Okay, then. So we'll just push all that aside. But, Paul, what a game last night. Man, I tell you, those two coaches over there, man, I love this rivalry going on in basketball now. I mean, the SEC has gotten really – we got some really great coaches. But Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates, they have really built this rivalry up with some great players and great coaching. I love that last night. But, Paul, are we getting close to a fear of the thumb in basketball also? Isn't that like 3 in a row? Is that 3?
I think it is, but – I mean, I love the game, but let's not get carried away. What happens in March defines who you are in basketball, not late January.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm going to tell you, what I saw last night was the Grave Digger Part 2, but I do have a question for you, Paul.
Have you heard – I mean, I have not heard Alabama fans this excited in a long time. They won a basketball game.
Yeah, but they beat a number 8 Auburn team.
Yeah, at home,
you know,
by
the rivalry.
Way. At home.
Yeah, well, I agree, but let me ask you this question. Is Nate Oates going to become I-Man's next villain since Little Nicky has left? Is that what's going to happen?
No, I think he's going to be stuck on Little Nicky for a while.
Yeah, probably so. Okay, Paul, one other question. Who you got tonight, South Carolina or LSU? Because I'm going to tell you, Mulkey and Staley are the two best women coaches in college basketball. I'm looking forward to watching that. So I hang up and listen, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I was hearing everybody talking about the game last night, and I came up with a little jingle here. I've seen a lot of refs like this before. Feisty little fellas proud of the uniforms they wore. The players would push each other down but get called on a touch. I'd never seen a ref go to the monitor that much. Attention-seeking refs are one of my pet peeves. Last night I got shafted by a ref in tight-fitting sleeves. How you like that?
Outstanding, Johnny B. I'll move you the next round of American Idol. Let's continue. Brad in Macon, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Paul.
Good afternoon.
Who's breathing a bigger sigh of relief right now? The NCAA for actually not having to get their hands dirty and investigate this thing, or Jim Harbaugh running out going, man, that was close. I'm glad I got out of there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty equal. And, you know, give Harbaugh credit for a guy that couldn't do anything right for his first couple of years. He dialed some aces the final run around.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Took him 3 years to get there as far as building that team. But, man, I tell you what, he did a good job. And I got –
And by the way, after all that, it took a wayward snap in overtime for him to claim victory against, frankly, an inferior team in Alabama, but a superior coach.
That's correct, yeah. You got to give him that for sure. Man, I tell you what, Arthur Blank just botched it again. That joker.
I am in shock about that. I thought Arthur at this point in his career could gamble. Well, I mean, considering some of the losers he's had, why not go for it with Belichick?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Paul. You said what it was. That's true. If they would have hired Belichick, there would have been some heads rolling out of that door because he would have said, no, we're not doing that. We're doing it my way. And guess what? We don't need you anymore. So that's exactly the way you called it. That's why he hired Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of these system guys end up being Dan Campbell and McVay and successful coaches, but most of them fail. Most of them are gone in 2 years.
That's right. I got two wish lists, Paul. One of them is Arthur Blank, sell the Atlanta Falcons and go back into tool world. Just run your little tools and stay at Home Depot.
Yeah, go back to Home Depot and put an orange apron on.
Yeah, and be somewhat helpful to society because right now you're not doing anything helpful.
Well, but Arthur knows one thing. I mean, everybody was upset when Daniel Snyder left because if you're one of those 32 billionaires, you never had to worry about being the worst owner. Now there's some serious competition, but Arthur's okay. As long as the guy's at the Carolina Panthers, nobody has to worry.
Oh, you got that right, Paul. Hey, brother, enjoy the rest of your day, and it's great hearing from you.
Hey, thank you very much. We will take a break. We head down to Baton Rouge in just a moment, find out about the big game tonight, and it is a big game that millions will be watching, and we'll talk about it right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
LSU has the national throne, but it's all said and done. Our players are going to rise to the challenge.
When you play LSU, they call it the show. Like, it's really a show.
My goodness, show-stopping highlight.
Can the Tigers be stopped?
But you wonder how good was South Carolina going to be? Well, guess what?
And welcome back. As we have been talking about it, now we're going to head there. We're talking about one of the biggest basketball games of the year in any classification, the women's game tonight between the number one team, South Carolina, and the defending champions. College Game Day will be there at 7 on ESPN, and part of that crew, Andrea Carter, joining us. Dre, it's always great to see you. We're always just glad to be able to catch you because you go from the NBA to college back to who knows where. Thanks for the time. Tell us about what we're all going to be witnessing tonight down there in Baton Rouge.
Well, Paul, thank you for having me. One, I miss just seeing you in the Charlotte offices, just walking around being like, hey, Paul. And I used to be so nervous to talk to you. So we've come an extremely long way, my guy. But I'm telling you, tonight is going to be an incredible game for a multitude of reasons. You have two Hall of Fame, standout, ridiculously incredible coaches that are going head-to-head. So that chess game that's so fun with basketball when it comes to what lineups you have, what defenses you're going to run, what offenses you're going to run, watching Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey go head-to-head to put their ridiculously talented players up against each other and put them in the best position to win, that's already going to be an immense matchup in itself. And then the talent level of these teams is amazing. So to watch Camila Cardoso go up against Angel Reese, those are two players that are potentially going to be lottery picks in the WNBA draft. You have so many different players on the court. I could honestly go on and on and on about the list of matchups as far as basketball goes. Three-point shooting, flashy ball handling, post moves, unorthodox post moves, block shots, fast break points. You're going to see every bit of basketball talent in this game from both sides.
Drea, the season began with LSU, the pick, and South Carolina was in an unusual position. There was a rocky beginning. I still don't know what it was all about. There was controversy. There was issues. Where is this program now? It seems like everything has settled down, hasn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think everything has settled down. I remember when we came here for LSU playing Virginia Tech, and Kim Mulkey talked to us before that game, and she said, this team is not a polished product, and that was after a lot of things went down. That was after Angel Reese returned from being absent from the team for a handful of games. Kim Mulkey was like, we're in a good place. We're ready to move forward. Some things just have to stay in the locker room, and she has stood on that statement since all of those incidents happened. She said, this team is still figuring out how to play with each other, but to me, it seems like a group that's starting to put the pieces together. And the good thing is they don't have to be perfect right now. They didn't have to be perfect in November. They didn't have to have it figured out. You have to have it figured out in March. I wouldn't say last year's LSU team had it figured out at this time of the year. They figured it out when they needed to. So LSU's making their way.
We've had so many intriguing rivalries in the SEC. You know, there was Tennessee and everyone, as you know, for a long time. Then we saw the South Carolina, Mississippi State thing pick up, and now it seems like this is it. Talk a little bit about what this means, not only for tonight in the SEC, but for women's college basketball, which is on fire right now.
Yeah, it means a ton just to have, again, like I said, these Hall of Fame coaches. These are two coaches that are going to recruit a lot of the same players being in the SEC. They're recruiting a lot of players from the transfer portal. They compete against each other in a multitude of ways. The fan bases, the way these fan bases show up and show out for their teams, they are die-hard fans. Their arenas are loud. You can feel the energy through the TV screen. If you were just flipping through and you happen to spend 1 second on this game tonight, I promise you'll be hooked. This game, this rivalry, the competitive edge between both sides, it wins over people that are maybe on the fence about women's college basketball. This is the type of game and the type of rivalry where you pick a side and you stand on it and you stick to it. It's like when we talk about, you know, rivalries in the past when you had UConn and Tennessee, right? You turn the game on, you see Pat, you see Gino, you see the orange, you see the blue, you see the two styles of basketball. You pick one and you pull for it. I think last season I compared it to SmackDown versus Raw. When you think about a top-tier competitive rivalry, that's what South Carolina LSU has become, and it's going to win over sports fans to buy in on women's college basketball.
And I want to go back because last year at the Final Four, it was happening before that with Caitlin Clark and then LSU with all the stars, but take us inside that bubble, and I realize it's long overdue, and there have been these with Gino and Pat, so many great moments, but it seems like right now the rest of the world seems to be waking up to what you've known for a very long time about the sport.
Yeah, everybody's catching on, and we'll welcome everybody that wants to hop on and hop on this train because we're going. And I really just feel like, Paul, you know, it comes with, I think NIL has helped. I think visibility has helped. Social media has helped. People buying in, you just have more eyes on this talent level. You have superstars that can handle the praise. You have superstars that can handle the pressure. And you've always had that before, but not everybody got to see it. Now people get to see it, and you fall in love with these players. You fall in love with the program. So I think it's a visibility thing. We have more cameras. We have more shows. We have more games. We have so much more now. For anyone that wants to watch a competitive game, they can tune in, and there are teams all across the country that can compete for a Final Four spot. So wherever you are, you can buy in and you can cheer for your team. I think it's a visibility thing. The talent has always been there. Now we have opportunities to share those stories, to put the talent out into the world. People are seeing it, people are loving it, and we're going to keep going.
Well, let's end on a glitzy TMZ note. You mentioned the coaches already, but these are magnets. Take us inside. They know they need each other because that's what propels great rivalries. But what is that relationship like between these two giants?
Yeah, I think they say all of the right things when it comes to competing against each other. You know, Kim Mulkey said, Don's not going to outcoach me. I'm not going to outcoach Don. It's going to be the players against the players. But I think those two and the caliber of coaches that they are, they need each other. They fuel each other. They push each other. And that's what it's all about. You need someone across from you that's going to challenge you because it makes you better. And so I think those two, I don't know how they are when it comes to off the court, but I know on the court, they bring their absolute best, and that's what you do when you respect somebody. You bring your best every single time, and those two, Don Staley and Kim Mulkey, they're going to bring it.
Well, Dre, we'll see you at 7 o'clock, College Game Day, an hour before the game, which is on 8 on ESPN. So great to see you again, and thanks so much for making time.
Thanks, Paul.
Who is that person you're with?
I don't know. I don't know who that is, actually. Some stranger just hopping on set. We need security. Mm-hmm. We need security.
A dog fan, Lou.
Love you, Paul.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks, Rhea. Great to see both of you as we'll be watching it in just a little bit over an hour. We'll take a short break. Back right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Squirrel is up next. How are you, Squirrel?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. You know, we briefly discussed speechwriters the other day. Do you think Dominic has a speechwriter, or do you think he writes his own material?
I think he outsources it.
I love it. I love it when people read their calls. And so if he would only throw in a few shout outs, I think it would be the perfect call.
Yeah, Squirrel, as somebody who does this every day, I challenge anyone to go, a couple of hundred words without a single stumble.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't read a script and do it correctly, let alone make a call extemporaneously as a 12-year-old without a single
Well, I'm not picking on a 12-year-old.
I'm not either, but I liked him better when he was raw.
Yeah. I mean, when you freestyle, that's always the best. And once he started reading, anybody starts reading, my eyes just kind of glaze over.
We have a few that do that, Squirrel.
No, we've got more than a few. And like I said, between the reading of the text and the shout-outs, I mean, I don't know, that some of these calls get kind of crazy. But, you know, we all need improving. And speaking of that, I'm glad to see your number one leg humper call back in today. Your mood visibly changed.
Oh, man. It was I haven't felt this good in, since the day before Saban left.
Yeah, like I said, he your mood visibly changes. It's amusing to watch on TV. And you speak about caller school. You know, I've kind of become a one-trick pony, I admit, over the years. I feel like I could benefit from this caller school. Do you think Jim would have me as a student?
I'd have to get Jimmy Sexton involved, but...
I don't mean Jimmy.
I mean, Jim said today that he would turn down. He would not. He would turn down $12 million to run that.
I wonder if he would have me as a student. I mean, I feel like I could learn from the other.
I think he should, because you are considered one of the preeminent callers, and he is considered the GOAT.
I'm willing to learn. I will give myself credit for that.
Now the problem is, though, Score. You remember you had that brief bromance with him.
No, it was just a it was a bromance.
Okay, but you guys
there was nothing like him and I man's relationship.
No, I agree. But you guys talked for a while, didn't you?
Both of those guys both of those guys, they have been so irritable since they broke up.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them, you can tell. And it's just affecting both of them. I think they need to get back together. And they're sending out tentacles to each other, if you've noticed. Jim's extending an olive branch to Iman, if Iman's picking up on the signals. So maybe they'll be back in the
well, it's kind of hard to hear those signals when you're in somebody's attic.
You got that right. Look, I'm enjoying the show so far. Thanks for taking my call again. Aloha.
Thank you very much, Squirrel. The one and only Aloha caller. Doug is in South Carolina. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Got an old story about Coach Bryant. I've been watching football for over 64 years now. He was getting ready to retire, and it was his last Alabama-Auburn game. And that's back in the days when Keith Jackson was on ABC, and he was always using those old terms, Donnybrook and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Auburn was ahead in the football game. I think it was 14-10. Coach Bryant was walking off by the goalpost, and they had a lady interviewer. She came up to Coach Bryant and said, "Coach, what are you going to do to turn this around?" He said, "Well, the first thing I'm going to do is get in that locker room and find out why we're playing like we think we're going to hurt their feelings."
That's great.
And I that stuck with me, and I never forgot it.
Oh, I do remember that.
And so they come back out of the locker room, and they didn't play after that. Coach Bryant got that chewing done. They come out of that locker room, they didn't play no more like they were going to hurt their feelings anymore.
That is great.
And I was going to say about the coaches. You know, Alabama, and lucky is not a good term to use for it. Fortunate is a good term for it. Alabama is a fortunate football program in the fact that they have been able to have two once-in-a-lifetime generational coaches in Coach Paul Bear Bryant and Coach Saban. I mean, you look at their records. At Alabama, they each won 6 national titles. They won unlimited Southeastern Conference championships. They won a lot of ball games. I mean, Alabama's a very fortunate program. And I'm not saying that they won't find their next once-in-a-lifetime generational football coach, but they may be some years like they were between Coach Bryant and Coach Saban that it won't quite come up to the fans.
Well, Doug, you're right, and I've I know my friends are tired of hearing me talking about it since I was able to intersect with both, although very briefly. But it is. I mean, Notre Dame's had some pretty amazing coaches, even pretty closely tied together. But nobody else has come close. Hey, thank you very, very much. Apparently, we have a disgruntled customer here.
No, you're not. I'm not disgruntled. It never fails, does it? You tell me. I can draw out that old, decrepit old man. That old man, he's the old man.
He is.
What's his name? Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Ronnie from Mississippi. He's decrepit. He's, who was it said that the other day? I can't remember, but they got, Augie told me that privately. He said, "Good night, I saw that guy. He is a decrepit, ugly old man." And he is, but he's jealous of me, Paul. Every time I make a call, I can draw him out. You know what? Maybe that's why I need to stop calling, because I ruin your show by drawing out that.
No, you don't ruin it, Jim. Following him is not ruining the show.
No, I'm talking about drawing him out, though, bringing him on the air. I bring him on the air, Paul. He never fails to call and make some lying remark, you know, regarding me. I'm telling you, Paul, I give you, as God is my witness, everything that guy told you, about our private phone calls about a year ago, when I was stupid enough to let him get my number and call me, everything was a lie, Paul. Do you trust me on that? Everything he said,
Randy,
all lies.
Trust but verify. Yeah, we trust you.
Listen, what do you want with a stinking, uncredible caller that lies about the best caller on the show? I don't understand that, Paul. I don't understand why you do that. I really mean that.
Well, you remember high school when people would try to turn you against your friends? He's that guy. I mean, I go into the lunchroom and he said, you know, that so-and-so was talking bad about you.
Does it not epitomize, or if that's the right word, he's the epitome of I'm in his head
Oh, yeah.
How much room space have I got in his head, Paul?
Oh, you're, I mean, what do they say, living rent-free?
It's stronger than that.
Yeah, I mean, you've already got the mortgage.
He pays rent to me every month.
And we're talking high interest rates, too, not the low ones.
More than saving paying on that interest on that house down there.
Well, Jim, I want to make sure you don't misunderstand me. I am with you on this. I know you think I play both sides. I don't. I never do that.
You're with me on what?
I am with you on the squirrel issue.
Well, it never fails, does it? I mean, the guy is just...
Yeah, he's just an old, decrepit. I saw him a couple of months ago in Oxford.
And you know, you saw him, and you know he's old,
he's
fat,
an old,
ugly, and
decrepit guy.
Augie, Paul, Augie is a pretty smart guy. He really is.
Oh, yeah, Augie's a genius.
Especially to be a paralegal. He's got to be great.
But Squirrel, remember when he tripped down the stairs?
No, I'm not going to make up anything. I don't know.
No, I mean, he did. I mean, he came up on our set, and then he fell going down,
I
think, didn't he?
I didn't see that.
We have video of it.
He was gawking over at, he's a pervert, and he was gawking at Laura. You know.
Yeah, I think you're right. He is an old, what is it, old decrepit?
Old decrepit, ugly old man. Can you imagine Laura, how Laura Rutten feels when he...
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.